Hello and welcome to the 19th Manx 40 part of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave,
I'm Rob,
are joined by Paul Rose player manager Steve Priestnell and goalkeeper Rob Slinger. Welcome, chaps. Rob, welcome back.
Yeah.
We'll talk about your previous club later on, but you were with Onken last time you were in.
Yeah, boomerang.
And you had a lovely roll neck jumper on that day.
I'm looking posh.
Yeah, you were the best dressed guest we've ever had.
Probably was, yeah.
Steve, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, not a problem. It's good to be here.
Of course, we're going to discuss Saturday's FBI FA Cup tie with Peel. But also the Division 2 promotion race, which you've, of course, embroiled in. But before that, Dave, you're back.
I am back. It's like I've never been away.
Do you want to explain why there was no podcast last week?
Well, me being the clever idiot that I am, decided to get into a fight with a shed door last week, and I lost, basically. Here I am, sporting a broken hand.
We put the picture on our social media last week. Yeah, it's quite impressive, because especially when you tell the full story, you're getting some laundry out of the shed.
Yeah, there's nothing exciting. I wish, this is only the second time I've ever broken a bone in my entire life. There's me thinking, I'd do it in an exciting way, but no, I was... late in the evening.
You weren't pushing a kid out of the way of a speeding car.
No, nothing heroic.
Just getting your skiddies out there.
You're the only hero out here, mate.
Was it his own garage or the neighbour's garage?
Some shed door, that's all I can say. Yeah. But anyway, so before we crack on any further, we've got a tremendous amount of biscuits this week, Dave, haven't we?
We haven't been spoiled.
I went over the shop, got the Viscounts. I didn't even say Viscounts. The Viscounts, I think, is the correct pronunciation.
Great minds think alike.
Rob has brought in the Freddos, haven't you?
Yep.
You were saying, I don't wish to question you, but how much were they?
They were £1.89.
And what were these?
The original ones were 10p a piece.
Steve's also got the Viscounts, and you've got the Toffee Pops. I've never even heard of them.
Seen these in shop, but I haven't tried them.
I'm
not going to lie. Cup of tea and biscuits.
That's
and I'm a happy man.
That's why we got him in, I think. Yeah, that was the hook that we got him in.
So. Agent Rashid staring at you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to done with a better cup, but this will have to do.
So Steve does have the infamous Agent Rashid cup, doesn't he?
The other one still hasn't turned up.
Yeah, it's still got at large. Is it turned up on eBay yet?
I haven't seen it yet. It'd be priceless anyway. You can't put a price tag on that.
No, exactly. Well, considering there's only a limited edition run of two.
Two, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Should have brought my own cup down. My brother got me a present, and it's a cup. It's got the gaffer written on it.
Right, okay.
Personally for me.
Quite apt. Quite apt.
It's my favourite cup. I've actually left it at my mum's house, so.
Not much your favourite then, is it?
It's pretty bad if we're making the guests bring their own cups, to be fair, Dave. Anyway, Steve, you've got a big game on Saturday for your young squad, away to the Railway Cup winners. Obviously, you head into this as the underdogs against the Premier League heavyweights, but does that, in a way, make it easier for you guys? Because there's no pressure on you, is it?
Yeah, of course it does. There's absolutely no pressure on us whatsoever. Everyone expects Peel to win. Mm. But we'll just turn up. I know what the lads are capable of, and if we play well, it'll be a good game. It will be.
Be a good chance to test yourselves and gauge your progress, really. You know, at the moment, it's looking very good for promotion, isn't it? So it's a good way of sort of gauging your progress for next year.
Yes, I mean, it's got, like you say, it's going all right. It could be going better, but I think, obviously, I know the difference. I've been there and I've played against the good teams, and Peel are a good outfit, so it's going to be interesting. Because it's good for me, though, to also see the younger players, who I think are good players, see how they get on against the so-called better Ireland players.
And Steve, have you had any special plans for this game? Because obviously it's a bit different, no disrespect to playing Governors Athletic away or something like that. You're a bit of an unknown quantity for you guys, because you don't really encounter them on a daily basis, do you?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We've done absolutely nothing different compared to every other game. Because for me, once you set your standard, you go every week, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. You play Governors, you set a standard. You play Peel, you've got to keep it up, do you know what I mean? So. Yeah. Yeah, we've trained well this week. Like you say, preparation's just gone the same.
Popping a chick in the face.
Yeah. I've been telling the lads every week, every game we play, you set a standard and you get to a level, and you've just got to stay at that. Once you drop that level or the standard, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't matter who you're playing, you'll come unstuck.
And when the draw was made, was it nice to get a big club? Was that sort of incentivise you guys?
We were talking about it just before the cup game, and I said I'd love one of the top four.
Mm.
Because you want to test yourself, you want to play against the better teams. No disrespect to like the bottom half of the second division, but you get one of them, you're just like,
yes.
Yeah. Are they going to turn up? Because teams will, as the season's progressed, now they're starting, they're not really caring about the league. Then the cup turn, and they do bring more players in.
Yeah.
But you do want to be playing against the big players. You want to be, and especially for Pulley, the young lads that are in there are fantastic. Like, and they want to be progressing. You want to put them in the shop window, like Owen Quayle, Joe Canepa, Owen Canepa, James McGinn, all the players. Like, they've got the core. And with Steve coming in, he's pushed them on, making sure that they turn up for training, dropping them if they don't. The past couple of weeks, he's had Owen and Joe on the bench for not training.
Mm.
And they're big players to the team. And he's just, there's no nonsense with it, which is just really good. But we want to be playing against the big teams.
Just back on that question that you just asked, right? When the draw was getting made and we were still in the changing room, who do you want? And four people stood up and laughed.
Yeah.
We want Peel away. 10 minutes later, you got their wish.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Was Wimbledon and Peel.
You're going into it on the back of a good win against Duncan last week. I mean, I'm sure you probably thought it was going to be a tougher test. I did see a comment by you, Rob, the other day on Facebook that you basically had nothing to do in that game.
No.
Is that good or bad going into a game like this? Because it's obviously going to be a busy game.
Well, it was. Duncan have got, they've got a great thing. If you've looked and watched the things this season, and like the seasons when I was there, they turn up against the big teams. I don't know where the rivalry between them and Pulley is, but there's a massive game.
A lot of players have moved between the two.
Yeah, and they always get up for it. I personally feel they're playing players out of position. Mm. They've lost a few players as well, some big players as well. Caruso for the ban, and a couple of players have gone to Australia.
Yeah,
they've moved away. And it is a shame that you've still got a core of players, but it is down to losing a few players. But it was dead a bit one-sided. There's no shots on target. I was absolutely bored.
But as Dave's saying, would you prefer a tougher game last week
definitely.
Just to keep you ticking over?
I think I'd rather a tougher game every week. I don't like the. It's nice to have a clean sheet. It's always nice to have it, and it's with the defence we've got. It's great to walk off that pitch with a clean sheet. You don't want that. You want to be testing. I know you go to the bottom half of the first division. You get whooped every week. But you want to be in a challenging game. The game against Ramsey was quality. What a game that was.
Mm.
You want to be testing yourself. And for the younger lads as well, you can't move on doing that every week.
No. Well, Rob, you're top. We'll go back onto the league now. You're top on goal difference at the moment with 5 games to go. I mean, I think there's a bit of a gap opening up. Dave keeps telling me there's a long way to go. There's twists and turns and all this. But there is a bit of a gap coming up. You get into that stage where you think maybe promotion's in the bag, if not the title. Or is it still as a lot for
football to be played? I don't even think about it. I've had people always message, you get Malou players and you get, oh, it's all yours, it's yours, it's yours. It's 5 games off, ninth football. It changes within a game.
Mm.
You lose, we lose in a couple of weeks, all the teams are back in. It is massive. This could go down to the wire, but around the top four, it's so tight. I've not really thought about it, to be honest.
Steve, what's you being thought to? About
well,
this next season yet?
Like I said before, obviously going off what you just said there, I treat every game the same, and we just got to keep winning. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Keep training hard, keep winning, and like the rest, just try and drop a few points maybe if they can. But if we keep winning, then
it's your job's done, isn't it?
It's done and dusted, really. Yeah, that's all we can do.
And so, if you do go up, if it is, who do you think would go up with you? Is there anyone who's impressed you the most, Rob? You mentioned Ramsey a couple of times.
Yeah, I like Ramsey. I think they've got a really good young team. They're really good players. Andy Perry's solid at the back for them, holding the defence in line. The defence is good. I like that young winger, Pickles, is it?
Yeah.
He's brilliant, brilliant little player. Absolutely fantastic. I think I'd like to see Ramsey go up with us.
Steve?
Well, I think at the start of the season, I think I tipped Ramsey to win it.
Yeah.
Obviously going off last season,
yeah.
I'd obviously seen them play a bit. I thought they were a good young team. Give St Mary's a game. I think we won 5-3 in the end, but it was a good game. Like you say, I think I tipped them to start the season, and they're doing all right. I think for me, I'd like to see them go up.
Yeah,
and from what I've seen, they probably are the best team we've played.
If Foxdale still had Robbie Jack, though, I'd like Foxdale. We miss Robbie Jack.
Steve, now obviously you were tipped to do well pre-season. I think everyone, university, had you in the top two, if not the champions. Has the campaign gone better than you'd expected, or is this what you thought when you took on the job?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? I thought it was going to be easy, and it's been hard. It's been anything but easy. every single game's been pretty tough. And yeah, like you said, I honestly thought it was going to be a bit easier, but it has been tough.
What made you want to take on this project?
Because I went down, I lost my brother in a few games towards the end of last season, and I looked at, there was like a core of players, and every single player that I looked at, I just thought, you know what, I can go away and make a bit of a difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've enjoyed every single second of it.
I think it's definitely added to the... Yeah, because I went down the pre-season, and the football he had them playing was unreal, and the lads were keeping up. You see, like Ney as well, things he can do on the ball, they are brilliant.
Yeah, like you say, I went down there, and I think for me, it was all about time, and I was getting a bit fed up. Not fed up at St Mary's, but I've been there for a while, do you know what I mean? Mm. I went down, watched a few games, and thought, do you know what? Obviously, I've got roots anyway with
footballs. Yeah.
I was there as a kid, and I thought, yeah, I could do something with these. So I just thought, fresh challenge, new project, getting a bit older, start coaching.
In your peak, you're in your prime, Steve.
I am now, these Team Biscuits.
is it good for you to see St Mary's doing well as well?
Yeah, it is.
With a wry smile on his face.
No, it is, because let's face it, I could have been having another golden boot in the cabinet and a league winners medal, maybe. Possibly, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're like 10 years or something. So for the people that are there and put that in the hard work, yeah, I'm happy for them.
You mentioned the golden boot. Yeah. Silver boot this season, Mark is steaming away with it. He's played the full season.
Yeah.
You obviously, your season started a bit late. Yeah. Do you think next year you'd have a little battle between yourselves?
No.
Rob's shaking his head there.
You know, I've actually put him on penalties this season.
Yeah.
I've been injured. I've had some bad injuries this year. No, honestly, I love watching Mark. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. And what's it like? And obviously, you had a spell when you were in charge of St Mary's. But what's it like managing a sibling? Was it easier or harder?
No, it's impossible. No, it's hard work. But Mark's a strange character. But I tell you what, when you see him in training and stuff, he's.
Well, we had Liam Doyle in before Christmas, and we had, one of the questions was to name your best five-a-side team. If you could name a Mets five-a-side team, and he had Mark in, didn't he? He said some of the stuff he used to do at futsal and whatever, five-a-side at St Mary's, were unbelievable.
Did it to me twice last season. He tired me with free kicks twice, two games, and then he ran one-on-one and literally had me doing the salsa. Went one way, he went the other, I was going backpedaling, ended up slipping over, and I was just like a slug on the floor trying to get him.
I think you ran me up after one of the goals, didn't he, last year, and you said... like, how can someone so small kick the ball that hard? Like, right into that little top corner space.
It was the first Onken pulley game, and he hit it, this free kick, and I died just to say that at least I made an effort, so I didn't look like I'd been humiliated. And then the second one, he was on like the left-hand side of the box and put it in the top right corner, and I was like, and I remember, the thing that made me laugh was, it was James McGinn when he celebrated the last goal after skinning me. He turned around and said, "What's it like being done by Mark again?"
We just got to talk about his Barnet briefly, though. Yeah, I keep referring to him as something like the Last Samurai. You know, that film because he. But you know, is he like Samson? Is that where his as Rob says, his
the Weasleys?
The power lies in his hair.
When I walked in downstairs, a woman thought I was Mark, didn't she? Yeah. I said, "Come on, I got no top knot. I'm better looking than it." He told me that a few days ago, he's going for the Japanese look.
Right.
So.
Okay, I was up as Bob on then with the Last Samurai.
Yeah.
We've got loads of Twitter questions, but we to get through, well, I say Twitter, I think, yeah, most of them are on Twitter this week. Starting off with Union Mills midfielder Chris Kelly, Dave.
Yeah, I've got a good question for you. So do you think Division 2 is the most competitive it's ever been in match football? And how confident are you in retaining players and building on this season if you get promoted?
So we'll start with Rob, because you've obviously played a lot of Division 2 football.
Yeah, it's been really competitive. It's great. Some teams have been off the boil to start, and it's great to see the likes of Colby Mills starting to get better and get into the fold. Foxdale are in and thereabouts again.
Colby, unbelievable. Top of the board table at the moment.
Absolutely fantastic. It's great to see that, though. That's what you want. You want more competitive teams. It'd be nice to start seeing Governors get in there. Gyms, I'd like to see for Tony. Get them in there and start playing a bit. So make it, instead of just... a top half. Let's get it more of a division and have it in there.
But I think I can only speak from the games we watched with Dave, but I think that the fact that Zoni say, maybe no disrespect to them, Governors and Michael, but every other team in that division on their day is capable of giving you a game. You know, I include Jim. So I think that, to be fair,
they did at home, didn't they? They were up for that. That was in the cup, that one. I said I'm not clean out on it.
I'm sure you know. Yeah, I think it was a couple.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not. How are we on? 10 teams. How many teams in that division now? I keep losing track of
13.
13. So 11 of that 13 yeah. are in decent. Yeah. Are in decent nicks. That's not a bad.
No,
return, is it?
But it's really, really competitive, and it's good to see. It's battling. You see players wanting to battle rather than and wanting to win.
Yeah,
not just rolling over, and it's.
Yeah, and Steve, you've said you found it tougher than you thought it was going to be.
I think it's been brilliant. I've enjoyed every second of it. Mm. It's been really, really good. And if we're there next year, we're there. But if not, then so be it. But it's been good.
The second part of Chris's question. So, how confident are you of retaining the players and building on the season if you do get promoted?
Yeah, very confident. And we're just going to get better because we're a young team. All the players are learning every day. They're taking in what I'm saying. Yeah, we're just going to get better.
We talk about what we've shared on our social media this yesterday actually about 2006, the famous cup win when everyone in Paul Rose was seemingly down watching them knock Peel out and big Stewie Morris at the game of his life and goal. and everyone was there. I was there.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah,
exactly
yeah,
the same.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, Steve, there's been a lot of near misses over the season with Paul Rose. They've got to cup finals and the promotions never quite happened. It used to be, usually is, because they've self destructed. Is that something you found? Have you had to work on the discipline side of the side?
Oh yeah, I think it happened last season. I think they were doing all right, and then you just kind of just petered out a bit. But yeah, obviously I've got standards, like you keep saying. I'm played at a different level, so I'm just trying to implement that into the lads, and they're getting it. They are getting there,
see,
and they will.
The
they will get
as
better.
Well. Yeah, it's surprising when they asked me to come down and make captain for the first team. I was just like, it was a shock to start off, and I thought, gobbiest guy on the pitch.
Yeah.
And then he turned around, and he just goes, right, I want you to sort of keep the discipline things that are handy, you know. But no, they do listen. You sometimes it was frustrating when you've got players kicking out, and you've got it happens with both teams, but they're all label pulling.
Mm.
You do have players kicking out from other teams, but because we react, everyone reacts, you see it every week. But the discipline's been actually really good. You look at other teams, Onken, I think they've just had, I think it's their fourth sending off in 4 weeks.
Mm. Mm.
So it's other clubs that one,
yeah.
but if it was Pulley, it'd be different. They'd be like,
yeah.
"Oh, typical Pulley."
Yeah.
But
well, it's obviously, you've changed it.
It has come round. Like,
I think the thing is with it, when I turned up, I think I can have a laugh with the lads. I've got a good sense of humour. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But like I say, when I play football, and I'm kind of
assess the difference in quality that he's brought to the team.
I'm a different animal. Do you know what I mean? Mm. When I have to be serious, I can be serious. I think the lads understand that, don't they?
Yeah, and you see it, and the things you take in, you think you've known football, and then he'll come in and he'll say to like Owen, take the young lad and say, listen, try this. And within the game, I think you had Ney in one game. You turn around, right, no more than two touches. And Ney for the whole game didn't have no more than two touches. The midfield was just passing fluently across, and you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just to get one person to do that changed the whole midfield.
Yeah.
And it is just little things that he brings in. It's like, with Owen playing out, trying not to play out more and sweeping out and all, like, with the wingers, the best thing to do, coming in, meeting the ball, keeping us compact. And it has changed games, but the young lads are listening because they know the level that Steve's played at, and it's great to see them taking it, especially young Owen. He's absolutely brilliant. And he said at the start of the season, I'll change him. And he has. He's completely different to what I saw him last year.
Yeah, he's one of my favourites because he's a striker, so I kind of...
gravitate
towards that a bit more, but yeah, he could be some player if he wants to be.
Talking of discipline, referee Ant Page, and famously lives next door to my mother-in-law, he says, Rob, how does it feel about being dubbed the angriest man in Manx football?
That's great. This is a brilliant thing that this has brought out, because it's a part of my own thing at the moment. Angriest man in Manx football.
Well, you've just said that you've
Yeah, you do. I have, because I got diagnosed in 2006 with PTSD,
right,
and suffer with it uncompetitively. I had issues over the years, which when you get into a competitive environment, you adrenaline rush, and that's from my days in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So I've always had things like that, and really people just judgmental on it. You would never know, and it's a part of the mental health and all things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm happy to take that. Like, I really am.
So, would you say that you've under Steve, almost, you've calmed down a bit this year. Is the captaincy been a thing?
I think, yeah, the captaincy has. It always runs off because people can hear me, because I like to dominate defence and try and be loud, because people, the striker, if you wind them up and start getting, they go off their game, and it's the best thing. I know Crawley does it for winding players up, and people get trying to snap him, and he becomes, then he can just nip through, and he gets people sent off and things like that. It's easy to do. I wouldn't say the angriest man in Manx football, because my discipline isn't that bad. I've only been sent off once in my whole NBL man. Yeah. And it was Ollie sent me off. It was he booked me, and then in the second half I took the player out one-on-one, and it was fair, a right red card.
As you say, though, maybe it is because you're shouting.
It is stereotypical, because being ex-army, I ran a team of 12 in Iraq, so you have to be loud and dominant. It's how you're taught. It is from really the army side, you'll notice attitudes and things like that. And
well, we're happy to clarify. The former angriest man in Manchester.
Yeah. I think I just want to say on that, obviously when I come down, obviously I wanted to get Robin because he's a good goalkeeper. Mm. But for me, I thought, right, I'm going to make him captain because I know he's got a strong character.
Yep.
And the lads will look up to him. And again, I think I've made a good decision on it, and it's gone well on it.
Yeah. Well, you think you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's obviously. How many clean sheets have you had this?
12.
It's
12 in 19 games. That's so ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, so double
pretty
figures.
Good.
Yeah.
3 years on the bounce, double figures.
Good defence.
Yeah, they are class. Absolute fantastic defence.
Defending starts from the front.
How many did you play?
Next question's in from Liam Doyle. Steve, what was your form under Sam Kenny the best you played in your career?
Yes, probably. Good question, Liam. Yeah, probably was, because I was playing with Brian and Mark, and they were the fittest I've ever seen them play. Mm. And they are quality players. Yeah. And it brought
you were a nightmare to what Mark. I remember it was just, you were always moving the three of you, and you could sort of slot round and around.
It was enjoyable, because I like to play football, and it was so enjoyable to play, and it was easy.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Callum brings something else to the pitch, doesn't he? He can do some unbelievable things, just like you and Mark. So,
I've played with some good players, and him and Mark on their game, they are top.
Mm. Brian's been unlucky with injuries, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a lot of injuries. He eats a lot of cakes, a lot of biscuits. he has been unlucky, but. Yeah, like I said, when he was fit and when Mark was fit, it was so good to play with. It was really, really enjoyable.
Next question in from Onken Legend, but I think he's at All Boys now, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Brian Ring. He says, Rob, I know Spurros are flying this year, but do you think the Sling Ring midfield is still the best midfield partnership in Manx football? We did win the Business Winter League. Win the Business Winter League after all.
Yeah, it's a funny one that, because I've played in, like I said before, I've played in goal since like 4 or 5 years old. I can only play in one direction, so every time I get the ball, if I turn in midfield, I don't know where I am. I don't know what team I'm playing for or anything. And because I was struggling at training, because I have my daughter on the Tuesdays and Thursdays, and at the end of the day, she's priority.
Yeah.
Tristan brought me down for this and said, right, you'll play out pitch to get your fitness. And he put me in Ringo in centre midfield. And honestly, the first 10 minutes, I was on respirators. I couldn't run around anywhere. But we ended up winning it. It was a good laugh.
I was going to say, Rob, you describe yourself as a sweeper keeper, but are most sweeper keepers frustrated playmakers anyway, aren't they?
Yeah. Back to the angriest man in my talk.
Calm down, Rob. Yeah.
But that's what it is, isn't it? You know, I play in goal on a Wednesday night on a seven side. You know, it's totally different to what you guys do, but I love it nothing better than putting a long ball over the top and someone running into it.
Well, we did that the other week. There was a ball I put over to you, wasn't it? Mm. The ball came in. And I took it, came out for it, took it. And then Jacob was like, leave it to you. And I just launched it straight over the defence to you.
Yeah. And I think Edison, who seems to be the darling of the sweeper keepers in the Premier League, and he's got 2 assists this season. So that,
I've got a couple near enough.
Yeah, good
finish.
A key pass.
If you could finish.
Next question here from Chris Bass Jr.
Not a bad for midfielder in his day. Yeah, not so much a sweeper keeper, though.
He's
getting a bit old now.
Yeah. And shorter.
Question for you, Steedo. What's harder, trying to manage Rob or working for the senior?
They're both nightmares. Do you know what? He's easy to manage. Yeah. And Chris was really good to work for.
Good answer.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. He also asks, did you only sign Rob because he's under 5'4" and it made you feel taller?
Do you know what? I signed him at the start of the season and thought, not many 5-a-side teams are going to take him.
We brought him in for because we did the Jamie Carr day, didn't we?
We did actually.
We brought in and we felt sorry for Chris because there was a height restriction.
Well,
yeah, we won that. We had a dead tall team. There was you. We brought Chris in last minute, but then we had Josh, who was like 6'4". But I think that's just... Chris has got a bit of frustration because of his height. I know a lot of people say to make out of him, but he is a lot smaller than us.
Yeah, maybe if everything goes to plan, sign him next season.
He's too small. Maybe the under-12s could take him if we have a team.
Maybe get him down, he'll come on my coaching staff every once. make me feel pretty big.
Mike Allison has sent a couple of questions and he says, if you had the choice, would you prefer promotion to the Premier League or winning the FA Cup? So I'll start you, Steve.
Easy, Premier League.
Because
that's what we play for every game, train. It's for the league, innit? Yeah, it'd be nice, it'd be good.
Rob?
You could do both, but I'd definitely say Premier League. Young lads playing against better players, better quality players.
Yeah. We've seen other promoted teams. I mean, this season it looks like both teams will stay up the way it's going. Laxey look like they're coming down, but looking further back, Douglas Athletic have established themselves, haven't they? They're up in sixth.
Yeah.
Is that something you'll be able to do? Obviously, you'll be
definitely. You don't want to go up and be the Whitton boys. You want to add to what you have. And
there's an interesting question that Dave, because Douglas Athletic, a totally different style of play now to when they had in Division 2. Would that something you'd have to think about? Would you say you
think so, yeah, definitely.
Steve?
Yeah, I just play with the players that we've got and play to our strengths.
You wouldn't have to think about maybe becoming a bit more, I don't know, loading midfields or a bit bringing loading defence, because that's what affected Athletics, went from playing cavalier attacking football with two or three up front to just the one target man and maybe a couple of players off him. It was this sort of
style. No, for me, I just, like you say, whatever players I've got, that's how we're going to play.
I suppose with you and Mark playing up front, you've got that Premier League experience. You can sort of, you can cut it at that level.
Steve Chain, we got like playing styles that we play now. We don't have one style that we play now.
Right,
he'll change per games. Like we played in three or four formations this season. Last weekend we played the 4-3-3. Week before was 4-4-2. We played the 4-5-1, so he's always picking on the games. He knows what we're playing against, who we're up against, where they are in the league, how they're conceding. If they concede more, we're going to push on them more. And we loaded the midfield out. He played Governors at a 4-5-1, and we loaded the midfield out and just dominated it in there.
Yeah,
we're playing the Christmas tree tomorrow. If Falk is listening,
Terry Venables.
That's a strange one. Yeah. What are you doing?
Right, go on, Mike. You also asked Steve.
What are your thoughts about the future of Max football?
That's quite a big question to be throwing in. Let's pin it down then, because we know this is coming up in the next meeting of the council, the FA Council, is the 3 weeks, so we'll talk about that, Rob. So are you for or against the
Do you know, I was talking to Tony Beckham about it, and I am actually for it, because I think the three tiers, it's not nice to be the Whitton boys every week, so it'd be nice to, but you're going to have the same thing in the third division that you've got now, type of people getting bored, want to move up. But I do think, I am actually for it, I think, to break it up a bit.
Steve, I know you're sorry, you just take a big mouthful of biscuit. But
just having a toffee pop.
What are they like?
Do me favours. I'm against it.
Stay with two.
You've got to look at this season, first division, second division. For me, personally, best it's been in years.
I totally agree with you, yeah.
Yeah.
And what do we think about the combination leagues? Now, we've seen teams drop out of that. I don't know, is there something that's just come up on social media? There's talk of maybe making it just five divisions and then combis can fight for promotion and continental system.
You've only got to register. I know you've got like the under-23s that enter in the checker training or things like that. How can you keep control of it?
Right.
Because you have to register 18 players and use that 18 players alone for that team, because you'll just have... If the combi are doing well, they're just going to drop the players down from the first team to the combi to win that trophy. Then the combi players are missing out. I think doing something like that, I think, is you can't.
So
I was just going to say, obviously, FC Alamann is picking up a bit of pace.
It's something we're going to hopefully tackle on a podcast in the not too distant future, but we've seen this on social media, FC Alamann, and the idea of putting a team in an off-island league, whether it be Ireland or England, and doing what Guernsey have done and Jersey are actually going to start doing in September. Rob, do you think that's a possible way to go?
I think it's a great idea. Like, I think it's a shame they didn't do it years ago, because the Geordie team, when they were dominating the league for years, if you'd have put that in there instead of having them dominating, they wouldn't have been the moaning about it.
Steve, what do you think? Obviously, you've played a lot of Manx football. Do you think that's the way forward to help it develop?
I don't think Steve cares. He's got his
problems. But I think, like the women's as well, it'd be nice to see more games. Like, you know, like they've got the moment, the teams coming over.
Yeah.
See the women's team playing, the Ireland team playing, and get them more involved.
See what
I'm all for improvement, me. If it's going to improve it, then sometimes you won't know unless you try it. So
Unfortunately, but with this FC Alaman, it's a lot of money, isn't it, to make that?
That's what I'm saying. You don't know what it's going to take, how you're going to get there, how long it's going to take. Like I say, I'm just looking at it this season. I think it's been absolutely brilliant. Yeah. First division, second division, I think it's been really good. But like I say, for the younger generation as well, you always want to try and improve. You want them younger lads to be better. I'd love to have an opportunity like that when I was younger. Totally different now, but yeah, see how it goes. I'm all for it. Like I say, anything that takes football forward over here, I'm all for it. But
next question's in from Hattie Dave.
Yep, it's a good question. This: if you could pick any player playing in Division 2 to have in your squad, who would it be and why?
Well,
go on.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. Mm. I wouldn't want anyone.
Well, fair enough.
To be honest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because I'm happy. I've seen the players.
No one would add. Rob?
Don't get me wrong, there's some good players in this league, some very, very good players, but for me, from what I've seen, we've got a good team.
Rob? Yeah, well, I wouldn't add to our squad. I wouldn't change our squad. I think they're absolutely fantastic. There's a good few players in there, I've seen before, about Pibbles and players like that, some good young lads in there, which would be nice to see them go into the first division, but I definitely wouldn't change anyone on our team.
Hattie's got another question there. This one's for you,
Rob. That's why Rob's laughing. Here we go.
What were your reasons for leaving Ogden for Pull?
I had a conflict of interest with the chairman, and I didn't like him. So, he didn't like me. Made it clear behind my back. I got hold of it, and then I just wasn't staying around. There's a few players leaving.
This isn't Jerry Springer.
I know. Do you know what? And then I was training with Steve, and Steve was the only player that didn't mind me. Everyone was like, come here, do this, do that.
I said to him, listen, you're a good goalkeeper. If you're going to come, make your own mind up. I'm not going to badger you every day. Because obviously I spoke to Robert, he's a good friend, you know what I mean? I love the lad. But I said, listen, if you want to come, then you come on your own accord. I'm not going to badger you every day.
No.
But it was, and then seeing Steve down training, the commitment they're putting in. He'll be having a laugh and a joke 1 second, and then the lads will mess around and he's on it, and you're just like, do you know what, it's a bit of a he's getting this stuck in here, he's taking this actually serious, because I thought when he first said it, I thought, here we go. Do you think that player taking over, because you see the players that come in and leave clubs partway through the season, but now I saw the football he was wanting to play, the training, the fitness and all things like that, because I'd say we're one of the fittest, if not the fittest in this division.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And it's brilliant, he's just keeping it, wanting you to train and things, and I thought, you know what, they're playing good football, I'll go there.
It's a good trade, was it, getting Robin for, Dale and Harry England?
Oh, Dale came Malou.
The well-trodden path.
Well, do you know what, I didn't want Barry to go. Barry, if you're listening, I didn't want you to go, good player, but I think he was scared of working hard, I think. But he's regretting that now. I seen him a few weeks ago.
Oh, I felt sorry for him at the weekend. He turned up to play. It was a shame, I'd be fuming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He got to the stadium and they just went, oh, yeah, your band's just come through.
Through Saturday morning. So, wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
And final question for Patty. He says, well, it's probably for you more, Steve, is how important are the foundations that were laid by Paul Guyver in the last couple of seasons?
Paul done a good job. He done a good job of keeping the players together, first team. But when I went there, and I thought this is going to be easy, and then got to pre-season, and it was a lot difficult than what I thought it was going to be, because the whole club was just divided. Start for me, that was the first thing to do, bring the club back together. Don't get me wrong, some good players there. I think if I would have been there 3 or 4 years ago, you would have players like Owen Quayle and stuff, he'd be in the Ireland team now. Right now he'd be in it.
But he's still 19, 20, something?
I think he's got 23 or something.
Something like that,
Do you think Guyver obviously guided them to cup success, was it last year or the year before? Do you think that sort of just whetted the players' appetite a bit more now they're desperate to get that?
When we were playing against them last year, you could see there was players that were doing really well and starting to come on, and then playing with them this year, it's like a different... But it's like at the weekend, we're winning 1-0 against Duncan. It doesn't matter if we're 1-0 up, 2-0 up, 3-0 up. He comes in with a big angry head on him and says, give you 5. He lets us sit there for 5 minutes and then comes in, just criticises if we're not playing these ridiculous long balls or something like that. He'll be on to us about it, even winning. I think the same was that Governors, I think, 9-0 at half time, and he's like, you can go to the next level. And I went, don't, I'm bored at the back here. But it's good like that. I think the lads are.
I think that's
done
obviously
well to keep them all together and keep it going.
Like, I've played football all my life, obviously, and like I say, I've seen all the best players train, I've seen how they play, I've seen the desire and what they need. And when I seen these young lads at Paul Rose, I thought, you know what, I can take these another three levels above what they're playing now. And yeah, like you say, they've just all, they've all respected me and they've all listened to it, and they are only going to get better.
Well, one of the lads in question has got the next tweet, Owen Quayle. Steedo, who's the best striker you've ever played with?
Owen, I've been thinking about this for the last half an hour. best striker? Well, probably Mark's the best I've... Mark's one of the best players I've ever seen. Over technically, I know he's only a little midget, but Mark's one of the best players I've ever seen over here. But obviously, Brian Crowland, he's kind of a striker. I'd probably say Lange. Lange was up there with one of the best I've played with, probably.
Do you prefer playing with someone that's of a similar style like Mark, or do you prefer playing with someone maybe more of a target man, a bigger man that will take the attention away from you? You can make those runs that because of that foil, do you know what I mean?
It just depends, like, who you're playing, doesn't it? And, like, what style you're playing. And, like you say, they're all different. I just love playing with good players, to be honest, Like, obviously, Mark's very clever. He'd play a good pass to you, set you up. But then Lange would set you up with a header, flick it on, do you know what I mean?
Two good strikers. Yeah, awesome front three, that, wouldn't you? No, you'd be busy with your face and that every day when you're on.
Take it off his head.
He says, Rob, best defender you've played behind?
Play behind Richie Sutton, who plays for Morecambe at the moment. But over here, I would say Owen. I think he's a brilliant player. He plays it out. He can move out with the ball. He's quick. He's angry than me. He's really good in the air. He is angry. He argues with himself every 25 seconds. His arms get thrown down. But I would say as well, if Jacob scores his overhead kick, he's promised me this season, I'll say it's him. But I'll go with Owen, but he's promised me an overhead kick this season. But I did say I'd celebrate naked as well.
I actually told Owen a few weeks ago, I said, listen, I said, you're getting better. I said, you are, if you keep listening to me, you are going to get better and better. I expect him to be in the Ireland team in 2 years' time.
Right, yeah. Heard it here
first. Like, and I'll go and speak to Jonesy and the lads. Because he, honestly...
I have to say,
he can be impressed.
And he was playing it that centre half, which traditionally is, I'm going to say, an older man's position. Yeah. But he's played for so long now, you forget he's that young that he is, because he was probably in that first team at 17, 18, wasn't he? You know? But he's a good player. Tony Sewell has sent some questions in. Steve, what's the gloves all about?
Tony, you know, I'm a builder, I get cold hands all day, sometimes I just like to keep my hands warm, keep it nice and soft.
It's my pet hate in football, short sleeve shirts and gloves.
Yeah, but you've got to have nice, you've got to have a nice soft hand for the girls, haven't you? For the ladies.
Cold forearms.
Tony also asked for you, Rob. He says, you're one of the best keepers on the island. Do you think you don't get into the squad because of your... He says because you're angry, but I'm going to say because of your reputation.
No, the reputation, it always comes with it. But if you look at my reputation compared to others, actually, my discipline is not that bad. It's exaggerated. No, there's loads of better keepers than me on the island, and I know that for a fact. It's nice of Tony to say that. He's always, at the end of every game, doesn't matter however I play, trainer or anything, he's always dead complimentary, Tony, and I think he's a really good manager, nice person. There's a lot overlooked. There are a lot of keepers overlooked. I think Sam Holdy went away with the Iron, got about 15 minutes. I'd have retired getting 15 minutes. I think he got a bit longer, but getting subbed on like that, I think, look at senior football, Premier League football, you do that, you don't. There's loads of decent young keepers coming through. I've got like soft spots with Callum Dawson. I think he's a class little keeper. I felt sorry for the young governor's lad. He's only like 17. There's some really good young goalkeepers coming through. I think if these teams can keep them and build on them, I think you've got...
We had Harry Aubrey the other week from the Round.
He's going to
be a very good goalkeeper. But I was talking to him about the goalkeeping position, and again, it's a bit like a centre half. You envisage it as don't disrespect Rob, as the grizzled grey veteran of the team. But
thanks.
But I said to him, they struggle with the talking bit, and it's something that is strong in your game.
Yeah, it's communication. It's letting players know, letting the centre backs, because they're facing that way, and you see everything.
Yeah.
Like we have with Kenny, I'll always shout, Kenny left shoulder. If there's a player there, and they'll keep an eye on it. You've got to communicate and let them know. Callum Dawson struggles out with Onken about letting them know, because they're not really listening, and they don't, having the strong voice listening, telling people where people are is a part of the game. Letting the, I sometimes suffer, not, I don't call for it on a corner, I just go for it.
Mm.
Because what tends to happen, you shout for it, everyone stops, and then the big 6 foot Sean Quay comes and just nods you out of the way.
Yeah.
So, but it is, it's a big communication, but it's great to see a lot of these young goalkeepers. It's nothing better than seeing these young lads.
I would say, and Dave, you obviously watch probably a similar amount of football with you, but the Manx goalkeeping seems in a good place at the moment. There seems to be a lot coming through, and it's how they are.
But you can use them, because you lose them. You've got, like, James Rice. I've got a lot of respect for James Rice. I think he's a top goalkeeper, really is. He moved to St John's to play. He wasn't getting on to be at Onken, but we always speak, and he's it's a shame for how it's going at the team, but you can only build on that. You get better, you're learning, and that's how you learn conceding goals. You go up teams, get whooped, and you learn.
Yeah.
You know what's happening, don't you? They're all, obviously, it's in a good shape now, because I'm coming towards the end. I've retired half.
At the Aspridge.
I retired him years ago.
He should have to play midfield now.
You know, he was told at Onken that he wouldn't get in the first team. Mm. Well, that's what he was told, and then he left and gone to Douglas.
Tim Collister. Podcast favourite. His questions are always very loaded towards Tim, and he hasn't broken from this week's question. He says, "Do you believe Poros would already be champions if I had signed for you in the pre-season?"
Do you know what? I love Tim. He's a good lad. I know he loves poaching salmon
and goals.
Do you know what? I think he's not a bad little player. You know,
but it's amazing how he's always in the combi.
Yeah. He come down, I think, he come down and done one session with us. I think he thought, these are going to work a bit hard. I didn't really want to come down here Tuesday and Thursday and work that hard.
Yeah.
But, like you say, it's just, if he wanted to be there, he'd be there, wouldn't he?
He'll go down, and for me, is the goal scorer of the greatest goal that
there was.
Did he score that goal, did he?
Yeah.
Well, not
expensive.
He didn't score that goal, did he, Johnny?
Last question is from Gary Waitman. The studio wants to ask you about your love, in inverted commas, of flying.
Listen, I'm not scared of flying. What happened was, I went through a stage in my life where I just had a bit of anxiety and stuff. And I just didn't go on a plane for a few years. And I was kind of just a bit anxious about getting on the plane again. But
fair enough.
Yeah, more over it now. I'm a strong lad. I'm flying around the world now.
It's good. Take Pulley on a European tour then.
Yeah, I think we'll be going to nice little football trip to Barcelona or something.
Yeah. There you go.
Pre-season camp.
Us wouldn't get in anyway.
A pre-season camp in Spain next year.
Warm weather training. That's the way forward. Yeah. Right, let's have a look ahead to Saturday's fixtures, kicking off in the French Provident International FA Cup, and of course the quarterfinals. We'll start in Peel, Dave.
Of course we will.
Where Paul Rose are the visitors, as we already mentioned at length. Lads, squad looking good for Saturday? I know you probably don't want to give away too much, Steve, but
no, we've got a few missing. Owen Canopy, James McGinn are away. Had a few injuries last Saturday, didn't we? So that's where we're at, really. We have to bring a few players in.
Always put Rob into midfield if you need.
I got kicked in the face last night by Kenny.
Did you?
Not really. Yeah, I think he was a bit bitter.
Got a bit of a fat lift going on.
Oh, yeah. There blood everywhere. I think it was because he invited me onto the podcast and not Kenny.
But lads, you've said there's no pressure on you guys. It's about a day about going out, enjoying yourself to a certain extent, and seeing where you're at next season.
Give them a game, innit? You don't go down there and just say, I'm not rolling over. Mm. If they beat us, they beat us. We did it when I was at Onca Geordie's last year. Said, go out there. We're not here to get 10-0. We're here to give them a good game and go for it.
Mm.
If we get beat, we get beat.
Yeah, for me, I think, obviously, going down there, like I say, we've got a few missing. Peel have a few missing, but I know how good Peel are. They're a good team. They're a good outfit. They're going to be so fit, so strong. The likes of recently, they're good quality players. And for me, I just want to see what players that we have tomorrow. I want to see them. I want to see how they get on against these better players, and then I'll know more. Do you know what I mean?
I spoke with Lee Gale as well this week, and the way he was speaking about us was really nice. And like his first division flying, and he was dead complimentary about the team and certain players and things like that. And
I was just going to say that I think you will go down. They will be respecting you. They're not going to take this as a given in any shape or form. And I think it's going to be a good game, isn't it?
I think I think you'll give them a good game. I still expect Peel to win it, but I think you'll make life difficult for them, to be honest. You'll take your chances.
Would you have preferred it at home, Steve? Or?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. Would you?
I'd prefer to be in front of the Pulley faithful. It's a theatre of dreams undefeated, haven't they?
No, because I think we like to play football, and I think Peel's pitch will be in better nick than what ours is.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Good point. Elsewhere, we go up to Bella Fletcher, Corinthians versus St George's, to obviously the holders,
Corinthians.
Yeah, this the game you're going to, isn't it?
Yeah, this will be both games in the league have ended in 3-3, so this will probably be 0-0.
Probably
penalties, but yeah, this should be a good game. Rob, Corinthians possibly underachieved a little bit this season.
Yeah, they were hyped up for the dominating it, and they're going to turn into the Isle of Man's team, aren't they? Really?
Yeah,
it should be a good game. This draws off. Speak to senior all the time, and he's always dead honest about it. If they played well, Bradley has been playing well, but. No, I think without a go, Geordies.
Geordies, Steve, what do you think? Obviously, Geordies are probably punched. Apart from if you were anyone outside the St George's camp, you said that this season was going to be tough for them. But they've actually cruised through it quite well, and they look like they're going to finish third.
I think it was with the retirement. It was like Jesus, wasn't he?
The comeback.
Gone on the Friday, back on Sunday to get the Easter eggs.
No, I think, again, Chris is the type of person where he's got standards, do you know what I mean? Mm. He wouldn't have gone in, he wouldn't have stayed there. And you can't have them finishing 6th or 7th, do you know what I mean? No. It's not what he's about.
No.
Obviously, again, Corinthians, yeah, I've been disappointed with them this year. Expected a lot, expected them to kick on, like you say, maybe just be a lot stronger than what they have done. But I think Corinthians have hit a bit of form recently, haven't they? Apart from, did they get beat last week, I think?
No, their game was the other week, didn't they?
Yeah,
but their game against
Peel
was postponed last week, so...
Right, okay, yeah. But I know they hit a bit of form, didn't they? You're banging a few goals. Yeah, again, obviously, Geordie's doing all right. Like you say, they're going to be tough to beat.
They're just going under the radar, really, aren't they? Yeah, they're only 2 points off top.
That'd be a good game, yeah.
Geordies, I think, are welcoming a ref back this week as well. You know, they talked about broken toe in Manx football. Johnny Myers, I think he's back. And then I think Joel Ibanez is back. He's been a great find for them this season. Him and...
class Johnny Myers, like always has been.
Joel Ibanez as well, the young lad, and Jay Scouts.
Sid Batty away this week.
Sid's back, I think. Sid's been flown in. You wouldn't have had that door, Dave Steve. Would you have players flown in to play?
Oh, we'll make swim over.
What's the lad they bring? Malou bring back?
Oh, Conor Dowell.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they've got their own charter flight on.
But yeah, it's going to be a close game. I think this could possibly go all the way to penalties, this one, if the league games are in the indication. But I just got a feeling, I'm thinking with Rob on this one, Geordies might just edge this one for me.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it went to extra time, but I think Geordies for the win.
Elsewhere, we've got Colby, the other Division 2 flag bearers this weekend, lads. Against the Laxey side, their only form has come in this competition. They've only won 4 games, and 2 of them are in this competition. Can Colby pull off a shock here, Rob?
We played them at the start of the season, won 5-0. We haven't seen them or played against them since they've come in form. I'd like them to win it.
Mm.
I'd like to see the second division team go on further and do better. Laxey, I think people, the poor this season, they've had players away, a lot of players away. But the lad used to work for me, plays centre midfield for Laxey, George Burrows.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I'm going to go with Colby.
Steve?
No, we again, for St Mary's, played against Laxey last year, end of the season. I thought they were really good, all the young kids. They've obviously found it a bit tough this year, but yeah, I think Laxey will win that.
Do you think? Dave, can you see a cup set?
Yeah, possibly. As you've already mentioned, Colby are in great form. I think the return of their players halfway through the season has given them such a bonus. But Laxey, well, talk about their young players. Joe Walters has been unbelievable this season. Mm-hmm. And if he's on form, then he'll probably fire them through. But I wouldn't be surprised if Colby just snuck past them.
Home advantage?
Possibly.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I would, to be honest, it's rare that I side with you, Dave, but I think you could be right here. This Laxey could be on for a bit of a banana skin in this one.
Well, Laxey are going to win then, because if I've said, Colby are going to win.
Watch this, 7-0 Laxey, that'll be. Final game, the final quarter final, is Old Boys take on St Mary's up at Blackberry Lane. I'm looking out the window, lads, and it's tipping it down, so I'm guessing the chances of this going ahead are slim to none.
Very slim.
But can Old Boys get anything out of this, Rob, if it does go ahead?
Old Boys can. They hit and miss. They are very hit and miss.
Jekyll and Hyde.
They
Mr.
are.
Inconsistent.
And the,
everything. All those readable.
Like, Buckley, I think he's fantastic. I think he was great with the combi. Did a great job there. I'll honestly bring it out. It has probably been said before, but I think it's an absolute disgrace what happened to their footy pitch.
Mm. Oh, with the
I think to do things like that, just petty, like,
yeah,
grow up, like, you know what I mean? It's to attack a football pitch. Kids train on them, the new system and all things, and well,
mindless.
I think they've got the far superior team. Frank Jones, Jack McVay, then Frank Jones, both of them absolutely amazing players.
Yeah.
I think they'll walk this.
Comfortable win for your old club, Steve?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Old Boys have again disappointed me a bit this year.
Yeah.
See, maybe took a few steps backwards.
And it's strange as well because they've had some of what I'd regard the old guard are back in. You know, the Stewart brothers are both back now. Gary and Dave are back in that squad. You know, so it's the team that was when they were at the pomp. You know, that is there or thereabouts. But it's just not quite happening.
Yeah, the boys just named there. You know what I mean? The two Stewarts and obviously the Quirkers and stuff. Even Kinger, goalkeeper. They've got a good team. But for me, I just keep looking at the results.
Yeah,
class keep. I'd say he's the best on
there. So every time I look at the results, it just seems to be a bit disappointing. Really? So I don't know. I haven't seen the plays. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on.
It's great pass Ballou last week. Was an injury time winner.
Yeah, we always see consistency is key, isn't it? And with their pitches is obviously hit and miss. Besides from the vandalism, it is difficult for them to get a run of form together, isn't it?
Yeah, they're probably just not get like you say. Probably just not getting a good run of games. Which brings your fitness.
Budget Mary's now as well.
Will
he score and celebrate?
That's the question.
Yeah, Dad will score tomorrow.
Moving on to this one game in the Canada Life Premier League on Saturday, and that's his Castellanos against Gomorrah. This is the most deja vu feeling because he only played 7 days ago in the reverse.
And you were there, weren't you?
I was, and it was a comfortable, not comfortable win, it was a win for Castellanos. Moran were wasteful. They had a lot of chances, created a lot of chances in that game, and probably will be kicking themselves because they should have probably at least got a point out of it. But it was Castellanos that got the three that will probably see them into the Premier League again next season.
Yeah, that's it now. They've managed to put a nice little gap. They're 9 points clear, actually, at the bottom now.
There's four games left.
Yeah, for them. But you've obviously... Oh, three for them, sorry. Four for Moran. Moran, they still could do with a point or three just to make absolute sure of it. But this one, I can see Castletown winning this one if they've got the full complement of players.
I don't think they have.
No,
I'm seeing on their Facebook page this week. I think they're not flying in the masses. So I think this will be a different game than it was this week.
Where's this plane in England?
Yeah,
they got their own flights. Over
the airport's being shut down.
So I'm going to tip around for this one.
You said Stu Morris was in good.
Stu Morris played very well last week. He's a great player. Again, deceptively young. He seems to be around forever, but I think he's only about 22. He won the Silver Boot about 4 years ago. So shows you how old he was then. Rob, you know, it's obviously these two teams that were in your league last year, they've come up.
Both decent teams. I thought last season Moran were better. But then Castletown, I've got, as you have heard on the radio last year, they've got that 12 player on the sideline. So people, they do get intimidated by it. I'd definitely say I'm just going with Moran for the fact that Moran.
We'll leave it there, Steve.
From what I've been listening to over the last, obviously in the papers and reports and stuff, I'd probably go Castletown.
Castletown just to win this one. Mm. I think a draw would suit both.
It would. Yeah,
but I don't think they'll play for that. Mm. JCK Division 2, obviously your bread and butter, lads. There's four games on Saturday, starting with a big game at the top, and the chasing two behind you, Ramsey versus Malou. Rob, this massive game this year.
Yeah, it's a massive game. Close the gap, really, really good. Malou have improved. Ramsey, a brilliant team. It would be close. I think what was it last week? Draw last time.
Yeah, was it
1-0 or 2-0?
Might have been 2-0. Don't trust my memory.
Yeah, I think it was a draw.
Definitely a draw.
Yeah. A draw won't suit either this time, will it? If they want to get back into that top two, they need to win. It's more like a cup tie almost.
Yeah. It's a massive game for each of them. I think it's who's going to do it though. That's the thing.
Yeah, they both need to win. Probably Ramsey more than Malou. So I would take I'd take a Ramsey win.
I think we asked the question that you guys last week. Obviously, you had a big win going into a big game tomorrow. Like, Ramsey go into it on the back of a 10-0 win over Governors, whereas Malou lost 3-2 to Old Boys. Who do you think had the better preparation there, almost?
I'd say Malou had better preparation, because they're up from the game, and they were up for that game. What I heard, they played really well as well. I know they'll say it was a dodgy decision or something, but it was... played really well, and it's off to them, because Cal's a good mate of mine, and he's done a great job.
Yeah.
He stuck in when they were at the bottom. He's been there through and through. And the players that have stuck there as well, some of them, like Dean Kinley's on form this season... they brought a few players in, they've improved the squad, but I think Ramsey have as well, which Andy Perry's a massive, massive player to be bringing in. It's like Steedo Bully.
Yeah.
You're bringing a top-end first division player in. So...
So we're going to put your punditry next on the line.
I'll go for a draw.
Draw.
I'm going to go...
What?
It's a toughie, this. I'm going to go for a draw.
Oh.
I'm going to say Ramsey just about could have edged it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dave.
Draw for the draw, because I just think, obviously, I think Ramsey, from what I've seen, they are good, but I think Malou seem to be improving a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're not really getting mentioned.
It's a tough, yeah, I'd go for a draw, mate.
Yeah, well, it could go either way, this one. It's a tough one to call, but...
It'd be a good game anyway, I'd say.
And draw would suit you guys as well. Keep me just that bit ahead, wouldn't it? Foxtel versus Ayr United. And we're looking at Foxtel now. Look, to have a bit of run to make up here, Dave.
They do. They've just they've stuttered a little bit lately. But they did get back to winning ways against Union Mills in the Cup last week. Which was a
good result.
Yeah, a timely boost. Should mention Ayr, though. They did beat Jim's, which is a good result for them. So, this is going to be close. I think Foxtel will edge it. If it goes ahead, if it survives the weather,
Billy Gilpour.
We could probably call that one off now.
Yeah,
it
should be close. Foxdale desperate for the win. I reckon they'll. If it goes ahead, they'll edge it.
If it goes ahead,
well, Foxdale stuttering. It's the Robbie Jack effect, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're missing them
again. No, I think Ayr have improved so much.
They
were good against us. I think Foxdale's had that bit more edge in front of goal.
Just maybe
I'd say Foxdale
edge it towards that one.
Yeah.
Jim's versus Onken, another game which we could put firmly in that bracket, probably won't go ahead as we look out the window. Jim's versus Onken. Onken, you know, obviously they'll be wanting to bounce back after last week.
Yeah, they will. They are a good team. Like Mark's in centre midfield and Tom O'Neill. We got the better O'Neill, but we got the juiced up O'Neill. Yeah,
we got the bigger one, the one on steroids.
No, they've got a good midfield. They've got a lad that played on the right who's quick.
Is that Sam Greasley, the winger?
He
scored a cracker against Fox earlier in the season.
He's a good little player. The back line as well, I said it was a majority. They brought in a few combi players because they've listened. They had Joey Joyce at centre back, I thought. But he ran the defence quite well. I know we beat them, but he tried to get organised across there, and he had players in there that wouldn't be playing in the position. But I'd go with the Onken win.
Estido, can Jim's get something out of this?
Just from what I've seen, Jim's. Yeah, I think Jim's will take that.
I'm going to go with an Onken win, but it'll be close.
Yeah, I fair in the speed draw. I think if the weather's actually all right tomorrow, but we probably won't go ahead anyway. But the weather's all right tomorrow. But I just think Jim's will. Maybe
there you go.
We were close against there last week, and I don't
think the Manx weather thing. Oh, it's windy, it'll dry the pitch out.
Final game of Division 2 this weekend says Union Mills take on Michael United. This to me, Dave, looks a home win.
It certainly does. You know, Michael put up a decent fight a couple weeks ago, but I think this one will be this will be a step too far for them. Union Mills, they'll want to bounce back from that defeat to Foxdale, so yeah, home win.
Home win, lads.
Yeah, I don't know what's gone on at Michael. They've just gone downhill over the years, haven't they?
I think they've tried to arrest the slump in recent seasons. Obviously, Michael Court's in charge now, and he's brought in steadied the ship, as it were. And you see a lot of teams can't field combis. He's probably doing well to get two teams out. But
we played Mills a few weeks ago, and they really impressed me. I think they'll win that easy.
Yeah. Dave, obviously you had to phone this in last week, quite literally.
Quite literally did, yeah.
Combi corner.
And I was on painkillers, so it probably didn't make any sense. But,
well, it doesn't anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So. Quite a quiet combi corner this week. There were only five games that went ahead across the two leagues last Saturday. None of the top three were in action in combi one, so the focus was on Russian Geordies to see if they could close the gap somewhat. Both were in good scoring form. They beat Laxey and Douglas Athletic, respectively. The evergreen Andy Moody helped himself to a hat-trick as the Spaniards triumphed 7-4 at Glen Road, while Tom Chappell went one better with a four-goal haul for Geordies in their 6-0 demolition of the Pinks at Glen Putri Road. The only other game in Combi 1 summer round claimed a 3-1 win at St John's, courtesy of goals from John Paul Timpson, Mal Gibney and Harry Barton. Malou were the biggest winners in Combi 2, as a Mark Hargreaves hat-trick helped them beat UT 5-2 in the north of the island, a result which moves them up to fourth in the table. They leapfrogged Ramsey, who were held to a 1-1 draw by Jim's at Ballyclone. Unfortunately, the match between Michael versus Union Mills was abandoned because of injury, while the Pulley v Colby game was postponed.
And we've got a couple of postponements already this weekend, haven't we? Before we even started recording the podcast today, I think St John's Russian's gone in Combi 1 and in Combi 2, Pulley versus Colby, was it?
I think it's gone.
Yeah. So that was gone as well. Dave reads the weather. Now, it's looking bleak at the moment. Has it stopped? Right? No, it's still raining. It's still raining.
Is it just about raining, is it? Well, it's the rain is meant to clear later this afternoon, but there's a chance of heavy rain overnight, which will cause a few problems, as well as strong winds. The rain will clear by tomorrow afternoon and give way to a few sunny spells, but it'll still remain fairly windy in places.
You ever remember the guy on soccer AM?
Which one?
Light drizzle.
Well, he has got a bit of a tube look going on. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's quite fun, I think. Are we saying widespread? Widespread postponements tomorrow. Look, you've already said, lads, the pictures are already taken a bit back from last week. It's not looking good, is it? Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get some games ahead tomorrow. Talking of games coming up, did you see this week the Isle of Man FA side will play Brentford B, the reserve team of Brentford's championship side, Brentford, on April 24th at the Bowl. Follows on after Derry City game, which I froze my chats off in January. Mifa are back in action. It's come out a bit of a bolt from the blue. They play in the end, end of May against Chernow, which are Cornwall, Yorkshire, and Jersey in Yorkshire. So that's a tournament there. I think it's the Heritage Cup that's wonderfully named. Liam Doyle, one of your ex-teammates, Steve, he's back in action. The first game of the USL season on Saturday for Nashville. They're against, right, come on, Dave, you've got the pronunciation on this.
Ladoon United.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, lads? Come,
he's
come, an on, come on the Ladoons.
He's an Nashville's Jersey.
Go on, Tuke.
This is never going to stop now.
No. We'll be on your Facebook later. Pictures of tubes.
Rashid will Photoshop it.
They are the Virginia-based DC United affiliate. So there you go. The other big news out of Nashville this week was Gary Smith, who's the current coach of the side, was appointed their manager for the Nashville MLS side, which starts next season. So he seems to take a keen shine to Liam, so hopefully that means that Liam makes a step up as well to the MLS.
Yeah, good luck, Liam. Yeah. Hope it goes well. Yeah.
Are you watching the stream? You said you watched a couple of the streams?
Yeah, I've watched a couple of them, like, because you don't really tend to follow it as much because I didn't really know
time zone as
well. But what I've seen, he's an absolutely fantastic player. And young lads should be wanting to get to that, yeah. The same with Adam Long as well. Because you've just had a little Sam Baines as well. Yeah. It's good to see players like this.
Like you say, I speak to Liam all the time. And like I said to you before, he messaged me last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. Pain in the ass.
So it's 1 o'clock now and you've known it and you still haven't replied to you.
No, but you know what? Like you say, I try and watch as many games as I can, but it's hard because of the time difference. Mm. But yeah, it's good luck, mate. Yeah, hope it goes well.
Absolutely. You mentioned Adam Long, by the way. Obviously he was in action for Wigan B.
Wigan B is the what do you call it? The hipster term. I think we call them Combi. I call them Wigan Combi. It's the reserves, the development side. They played against Notts County. Yeah, Port Vale.
And they won 2-1.
Yeah. So Adam's having a great season. We've seen that tackle we put on our social media the week against
Liverpool
in the FA Youth Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Good luck on Saturday. Hope everything goes well. Hope the game goes ahead.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thank you. Nice for having us. Thanks for the tea.
No thanks worries. For bringing all the biscuits in.
Good luck for the rest of the season. Fingers crossed it ends in promotion and whatever you guys want. And obviously, it's a trophy laden season, I'd say.
I think so.
Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which includes Rob's previous appearance on the podcast, at audioboom.com/channel/manxfootball. We could maybe do a Rob Slinger playlist, couldn't we?
Oh, sure. On the Isle of Man, most will never listen to it. Hate me as it is, never mind, they're going to show me.
They're all on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, Google Podcasts as well. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.